Mark. I was born
bold. Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au.
Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now or visit worth.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us. Our next guest, Wispy. What are you laughing at, by the way?
I was just going to ask you a quick question, if I can, please. I just want to back over something you said before, and that was about when you negotiated your final contract and you marched into the CEO.
I negotiated all of them, I said.
Your CEO offer. Did you have your shiny shoes on and your briefcase? Were you dressed as the negotiator?
Full suit.
Three-piece.
It's hard to negotiate for yourself.
Did you pull out in your briefcase? Briefcase, did you have a CD of your highlights and stuff like that?
Only in case of emergency. Gary Ayres was one of my all-time favourite players.
Mine too.
To watch. Not so much to play against Wisp, it has to be said, but we were lucky enough to play with him on a couple of occasions as well. And then he went and he's a dual Norm Smith medalist, of course, just one of the all-time greats. Then went and coached 116 games at Geelong, 107 with Adelaide, a winning percentage of 54%, Wisp, which is bloody good.
On the positive side.
Joined Port Melbourne in 2007 and has coached ever since, got a flag there in 2017. And his name is often mentioned, but never, I don't know if it's been followed through with. In fact, let's ask him, because he's been good enough to join us. Welcome, Izzy. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, Gaz. Good day, Timmy.
Hey, Izzy.
Hey, the North Melbourne situation is available, of course, so we'll get on to that in a moment. But since you've been with Port Melbourne, have you had sniffs for AFL coaching jobs over the journey?
Yeah, there's been a couple along the way, Gaz, and I guess also too when you got to fill a little bit of news up, there is my name thrown around a little bit from time to time, but nothing's been really serious, and I've always tried to, I guess, improve my coaching, and you'd probably think after 25 years you're a little bit better than what you were when you first started all those years ago, even though the coaching landscape has changed, but yeah, nothing really serious, Gaz. So, again, I guess it's nice to have people talk about you, but nothing has ever really eventuated. And, again, you just turn all your energies to coaching Port Melbourne, which I love doing.
Is the game ageist, Izzy, do you think? Do you think people look at somebody's birth certificate and decide whether or not they're the right person to be a coach at an AFL club now?
It probably seems that way, Tim. I think over the years, and there's always a little bit of a comparison with what goes on in America, not necessarily from obviously the sport, but just who's in charge of particular organisations. And it seems like a lot of those guys over a long period of time are a lot older than what they are, particularly within the AFL industry. And I guess you probably always think that someone like Chris Fagan, who's been snapped up and done such a wonderful job with the Brisbane Lions, that maybe there is a little bit of the tide turning, perhaps. And, Chris has been outstanding with taking an organisation from, I guess, being battlers and now look at where they currently sit. So, yeah, I think it is a little bit that way, Tim.
With Fagan, he was in the system, though. Do you think that it's a major disadvantage for you to be outside of the system to try and make your way back into the system? Is that what clubs say to you?
Look, it's very hard to actually say specifically. I don't really feel that would be an issue because you're coaching against a lot of the AFL guys anyway within the VFL. There's 10 alignments, as I'm sure you'd be aware. So you're coming up against those boys all the time. So I don't believe that's necessarily an issue. And I think the way coaching is, it's really changed a lot over the years now. I think the biggest thing is about from coaching is really staying positive with the individuals that you got, and they're the players, and they've always been the most valuable asset that you can have at a footy club. And of course, the other two things I think are communication and also to relationship building. And if you can set those three really big philosophies in motion, then I think you're a reasonable amount of the way there. And then all the other things come as you go. But of course, there's so many more coaches that are available to you. You've got to delegate and let them show their strengths as well. So a lot of the development, I guess, from a footballing education point of view is done that way. And as a coach who's had the experience, it's more about managing. And I think the younger coaches probably make a little bit of a mistake in that they go in boots and all and take on such a heavy workload, and especially if it's not actually happening for them as far as winning games. There's even more heat that comes on. But I think you've got to have the confidence that you've got a very good support team around you, and these are the guys that will help you get where you want to go, and that's success and obviously the development of the playing group.
Talking to Gary Ayres, how do you bridge that gap between yourself, say, and the younger players that are coming through? We spoke about you last week about the fact that you coach at Port Melbourne, you've got young players coming through. Obviously, there's a generation gap between those young players and yourself. How different are they, these young players that you have to communicate the message to?
Oh, Timmy, they're very, very different, as I'm sure you'd know. And of course, the
so what have they taught? What have they taught you? What have they taught you about coaching then and understanding them?
They've actually taught me that you move on a lot more quickly than once you did when you were potentially going through the losses, and there's a little bit more humour, I think, attached to the environment now, and of course the enthusiasm that they show. And I'm dealing with guys that are obviously back in our day when we had to work full-time as well as obviously play football. And for some of these guys, it's the highest level that they'll ever get to. And if they don't work, they go to university. So they're very, very good at compartmentalising, I think, the things that matter the most to them. And that's obviously your family, which should always be the most important thing. Then, of course, it's obviously whatever you want to do, work or go to university. And then your sporting life is probably number three. And if you can compartmentalise all those, I think you're halfway there to actually getting out what you want to get out of your particular journey in life, I guess. And it's just about sitting back and marvelling at what these guys want to do. And I can only talk from Port Melbourne's point of view, but, you know, we come up against the heavyweights of the competition virtually every second week, and they always feel they're a chance to win, and the environment and the culture, which is obviously your people, they buy into that. So, yeah, I've just been in awe, Tim, of the boys that I've coached over a long period of time. So, but as I said before, it's about the positivity that you display, the love that you display with the individuals, treating them as your most valuable asset, but also, too, getting challenged by your players and sitting down and pointing out that things like, I want you to be the best player on the team, not necessarily the best player in the team. And I think that's what a side like Richmond is that they have so many role players, and even someone like Dusty Martin, you know, you're obviously in awe of what he does, but he's so selfless too, and that's why the boys at Richmond would love playing for him and with him. And again, you don't have to see where he's elevated himself to now. So, yeah, I've learned a fair bit in the last 25 years, I think, Tim, and probably why the hair's a bit silver at the minute too, matey.
And looking sharp too, Ezzy. Hey, hey, what's more important, Ezzy, to be the best tactically or be the best man-manager relationship builder?
I think the relationship building, Gaz, to be honest, and man-manager, and the tactics hopefully will be there, but they probably change not so much, to be honest. And again, you've got to have a strong belief in your systems. And again, you can only highlight what Richmond do. Even when they've got players that are injured, they understand the systems, they understand what Dimmer wants and his other coaches want, and they come out and do it. And that's why you've got to marvel at where they've been able to bring themselves from 4 or 5 years ago. So for me, I think it's more about the relationship building, the communication and the positivity you have to show, because we know there's enormous pressure on the players, as there is a lot of pressure on the coaches too. And I guess that's why we then have to learn the skills along the way. Footy, as you guys would know, when you're playing it, it's about the physicality that you can exude and put out there, and there is the emotion. But as a coach, it's a lot more emotional investment in the game.
Ezzy, would you be proactive and chase the North Melbourne job?
I've probably always felt, Tim, that if people recognise your worth and what you're doing out there, then they're more about getting on the front foot and actually approaching you. And I love what I do at Port Melbourne, so, but I also love footy in general. I have a very, very, very strong passion for it. So I really feel the organisations, if they're doing what they need to do and putting a group together or a list together, that it's more about them approaching you rather than the other way around.
And Port Melbourne, where are they all good to go again next year, Ezzy? I know it's a great challenge always to, you know, be financially viable in a competition that is now going to be expanded, and there's going to be some travel down the eastern seaboard. How's the old borough going?
Yeah, we're actually going okay, Gaz. There hasn't been as much, obviously, funds coming in, as we know, because our premiers put a bit of a lock on that for quite a while, as we all know, but we understand why. So Yeah, we've just been going about our business. We've had some wonderful sponsors and also two members this year, the CFMEU and ETU came on board at the start of this footy season. And we've obviously got the ETU stadium now. It's not Northport anymore. So, yeah, I think we're in a not a bad position, Gaz, to be honest. It's going to be a huge competition next year. And I believe there may be some announcements in the next sort of 24 to 48 hours about what the VFL competition will look like. So, yeah, everyone's pretty excited, mate. We've been starved of footy. Thank Christ we had the AFL. But, yeah, we'd like to get the VFL back on the map, that's for sure.
Let's hope next year's a whole lot different for a whole lot of different reasons too. Izzy, just before we let you go, Alan Jeans once described you as a good driver or a great driver in heavy traffic. If you had been coming on the scene today, he forced you to play in the back pocket, out of position for mine, would you have been one of the big-bodied midfielders of today?
Only probably for a short time, Timmy. I probably would just get in there and maybe cause a little bit of havoc for 5 minutes or so, mate, and then probably slowly find myself back into the back pocket. But I never really thought I was a defender as such at being defensive. I like to sneak up the ground, Timmy and Gaz, as you know.
Yes.
Get out of that little defensive 50, and who knows. And Jeansy was lucky enough to throw me in the middle for a couple of big games, mate. So that always made it just that little bit better. But, yeah, no, I really thought the contest was pretty important, Tim.
Yes, we know that.
Hey, Izzy, when you sit down and watch the footy, Fox footy, who do you listen to more closely, Jason or Dermot?
I love both of them, Gaz. The forward line wasn't big enough for those two boys, as you know.
You're great to talk. We love having a chat with you, and it brings a smile to our face, mate. So North Melbourne should put the call in. There's no question about it. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Stay well, Gaz. Stay well, Tim. Thanks.
On you, Izzy.
Great Gary is. Oh. I say great with no fear of anyone challenging me on it. He was great. He was with us for Charlie Battisti & Co. Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started. I remember him going in the midfield one day against us out at Waverley.
Yeah. And famously?
Oh, he killed us.
He would have been a big body midfielder today. Yeah. I'm not sure about his endurance. I'm sure he would have been a great endurance athlete too. He's big. And then famously, I don't know what he did that day against you.
They got injuries. I think it was the day Dermot did his hip, and the chief might have had his head caved in by an errant Earl Spalding knee. And it was wet and rainy, and I remember him going into the midfield and just ripping it and dominating it.
Famously, he did that against Geelong at Princes Park one day too.
Yeah.
At halftime, after halftime, and turned the whole game around in the midfield.
Nickname?
Conan the Barbarian.
What a great nickname.
And he loved it. He loved it physically.
What a great nickname that is, Conan the Barbarian. Sammy Evan, I don't know, since we've been on air, a couple of little things have been kicking around. I don't think this is going to be a massive, big update, but we'll just touch base with Sammy after this for Tyre Power and find out if there's anything we've missed so far. And then we'll have time for your calls and questions without notice as we head towards 9 o'clock.